This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. I'm brought to you by the Health Promotion Program from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. This is Jason and Tex with you tonight, and a big thank you to the boys from the Let's Talk Footy team, and of course, Danae. Is Danae going to be a regular?
I think Danae might be a regular, Jason. She is very fanatical about football.
I know, we chat about footy every time we meet, it seems.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, we'll be back again next week, same time. But, of course, we've got a bumper show today, don't we, Tex?
Well, we have indeed, Jason. And you know what I'd like to ask you?
What's
a really
that?
Important question.
What is that?
What's on the show tonight?
Oh, well, we're going to be joined by Andrew Grulick from the Kirby Institute about a new research study that they're conducting looking at serodiscordant couples. So a couple where one partner is living with HIV and the other is HIV negative.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also be covering some of the news that's come out with regards to HIV this week and a few other snippets about workshops and groups and so on that are happening around town.
So a bumper show then.
A bumper show.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. But of course, we love to hear from the listener text. How can they get in contact with us?
Well, dear listener, tonight you have a couple of choices, a couple of platforms. If you'd like to speak to a real live person, we have a real live Jeanette waiting to take your call. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-JOY-949. Or if you've got your fingers hovering over a keyboard or over a phone or some other platform device, you could send us an email onair@joy.org.au. Hovering over your mobile phone or smart device phone, send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949. Or you can like us on Facebook, and you can either like us through going to the Joy website, joy.org.au, and then searching through for all the Facebook stuff, or just go straight to facebook.com/well, well, well, joy. And thank you for making me laugh in the middle of that.
Tex, I just love listening to you talk about technology.
Platforms.
Ooh.
Mm.
But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things, what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Amy Winehouse with Valerie. But it is that time of the show, Tex. We would like to switch gears, if you will.
Mm.
And get straight into the news. And it's been an exciting one.
It has indeed.
In HIV-related news this week with the American Food and Drug Administration, which is kind of the equivalent of the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration here in Australia.
That's right.
Well, the FDA has approved the use of the HIV antiretroviral drug Truvada as the first drug for use to reduce the risk of sexually acquired HIV infection for HIV-negative individuals.
Indeed. Really interesting. And it's great because it it follows... I mean, when I say it's great... when I say it's great, it is really good news. They don't have... from my understanding, do they have a public benefit scheme where they reduce the cost of medications across the country?
No. The American system doesn't have a public healthcare system.
Right.
There are a few avenues for which people can access, but very, very limited.
I mean, the reason I've said that, Jason, is that further on in this report, it says that people who want to access Truvada, this antiretroviral or anti-HIV drug, if you like, for this purpose, for the purpose of reducing the risk of sexually acquired HIV, are going to have to pay between $11,000 to $14,000 a year for the treatment. Now,
I guess that brings
that's a lot of money. And really, it means that it becomes a socioeconomic, who can afford and who can't afford. Whether it's people who are not going to miss $11,000 to $14,000 a year, depending on their level of income, whether they're heterosexual or homosexual, it doesn't really matter, because this is a drug which has been given approval across the board.
Indeed. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see how various public health systems across the 50 states take on this newly approved
drug for prevention. That like a state like, say, California, where there's a lot of people living with HIV, or a state like New York or New York City. Is New York City in New York?
New York City is in New York State.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Well, a state like that, where a big state where they have a heck of a lot of people living with HIV, whether they would be taking on the cost reduction, meaning reducing the cost for people, but the state paying.
It's possible. I mean, Each public health department would approach it in a different way. I guess what's exciting is the fact that it is another tool that's available.
Oh, indeed, that's great.
But again, you know, as Bill Whitaker, who's a spokesman for the National Association of People Living with HIV/AIDS here in Australia, indicates, it's still something that kind of needs to be used at a population level with condoms and other safe sex practices. So, you know, it's not an excuse to throw in the condom, because the condom has been effective for many people. But for some people who are at high risk, condoms aren't necessarily the most effective way for a range of reasons. They have issues using them or views around it. But this is another option. So really what we're talking about is combination prevention.
And what you said at the start was that the USA Food and Drug Administration had approved the use of this antiretroviral drug in the United States of America, but the it's not clear at this point if Gilead, which is the company which makes the drug, is if they were to lodge an application with the Therapeutic Goods Administration here in Australia, whether it would be listed for reimbursement through the public or the pharmaceutical benefits scheme.
The PBS.
PBS.
But I mean, yeah, exactly. As you said, there's no indication that there's an application in at the moment, even by Gilead at the TGA level. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We've got the International AIDS Conference happening in Washington, D.C. in a week's time. So there'll likely be a lot of talk about this, particularly given that it's happening in the states where this has just happened. But it's an interesting thing to happen to see the development around. There's lots of stuff that's been happening in the states, particularly from the FDA as of late, the approval of home-based HIV testing, now pre-exposure prophylaxis. There's lots of progress happening there. Wait to see what kind of trickles down here.
Now, Jason, you've actually put a link on our Facebook page to this article.
I have indeed.
So if anybody would like to read that article, they can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/well, well, well, joy.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. If you are just joining us, we mentioned earlier that we'll be speaking to Andrew Grulich from the Kirby Institute. And Andrew is joining us on the line. Welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Thanks very much, Jason.
Now, we mentioned earlier that you're here to talk to us about a new project looking at serodiscordant couples. But before we get into that new project, can you share with the listener a little bit about the Kirby Institute and the type of work that goes on there?
Sure. So, look, Jason, a few people might know us under our old name, which was the National Centre for HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research. So we're Australia's biggest collection of clinical and epidemiological and also some behavioural scientists working in HIV in Australia. So we're based in Sydney, but we have a network of clinical research sites around the country. So many of the studies we do are national. And the sort of studies we've done over the years include a lot of the clinical trials of HIV and AIDS drugs, so the antiretroviral drugs for many, many years. But in addition to that, we've worked very closely with the gay community over the years in relation to studying how HIV is transmitted in the gay community and ways to prevent it.
Andrew, it's Tex here. You mentioned that you do a lot of research, of course, being a research institute. What happens with that research? Now, I imagine a lot of the research goes, research papers are presented at conferences. I've certainly been to enough of them and heard research papers, and it's also published in journals. But what actually happens with the results of the research? Where does it go? Is it used by anyone?
Yeah, it's a good question, Tex. So we certainly do present it at conferences, and, you know, we researchers have careers which require us to do that and to publish in the peer-reviewed literature. But in addition to that, you know, those of us working in public health research are really keen to see that what we do makes a difference. So we make sure that happens in a variety of ways. So first thing I'd say is that a lot of the people I work with and myself in the past actually sit on the boards of HIV organisations, and that's a direct way of getting that information to those organisations. So, for example, in the past, I've been a board member of the AIDS Council of New South Wales. We sat on, you know, federal bodies. We sat on a lot of policy bodies. So, as well as being researchers, we're very experienced committee sitters, where we present our results to clinicians, to members of community, to government, and try to help formulate policy. And, you know, sometimes we're lucky enough that we'll come up with a finding that gets directly fed into an education campaign, and it's very satisfying when that sort of thing happens.
Well, we do aim to have evidence-based prevention programs, so it's the work that you do definitely feeds quite well into the work of the AIDS councils around the country. But here on Well, we've talked quite a bit around a bunch of research projects that are investigating the impact of anti-HIV treatment on onward transmission of HIV. Now, can you just, I guess, sum up what the current scientific opinion and where that sits on the issue?
Sure. This is an incredibly exciting area in HIV prevention research at the moment. You know, we've long suspected, I suppose, that HIV treatment by reducing the virus in people with HIV would lead to a decrease in HIV transmission. It's been suspected for a very long time. But about a year ago, a randomised trial, which was done in heterosexual couples, conclusively proved that the rate of transmission is almost eliminated in couples where the positive partner is receiving HIV treatment compared to couples where the partner is not on treatment. And so the reduction was actually 96%. It was so close to 100% that we believe, at least for heterosexuals, that reduction is almost complete. And to give you some idea of how revolutionary that finding was, it was actually called the discovery of the year by the top scientific magazine in the world, which is called Science, simply enough. And so, you know, that's a finding that's competing against finding in astronomy, in chemistry, in biology. And the judging panel felt that this was the most important scientific finding in the world last year. So, you know, I can't really state it any more importantly than that. It's stunning. I remember where I was when I heard that result in the way that many other people of my generation or slightly older remember where they were when Elvis died. You know, it's one of those events in your life which you're not going to forget. Mm-hmm. So that's in heterosexual couples, and of course that immediately leads us to say, what about gay men? And the unfortunate fact is we don't have direct evidence in homosexual men about treatment and transmission. Having said that, the effect is so strong in heterosexual couple, but everybody working in the field feels that there is likely to be a very substantial reduction in risk associated with HIV treatment in gay men. But we don't know by how much. And, you know, that's what this study we're going to talk about tonight, Opposites Attract, is about. I should say it's not a randomised trial. We're not forcing people to receive any one therapy or another because we believe the evidence is now too strong. We can't do a randomised trial anymore because, you know, as I mentioned, those of us working in the field are pretty convinced there will be a reduction in transmission. It's more a question of how great that reduction will be.
Now, Andrew, are you happy to stick around? We've got to take a short break for some music, but we'd love to chat to you a bit more about this project, Opposites Attract.
Sure.
All right, fantastic. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're chatting with Andrew from the Kirby Institute. And before we go on, there is a lovely message we've had in. It says, "Hey guys, lovely discussion and interesting times and exciting times ahead with 3 exclamation marks. It's from a smiley face with a wink in South Yarra, but no name. So thank you very much for that lovely message. Jason, I guessed that that song was from the 1930s. I was hideously out by about 90 years. So
when was it from? 90 years, but it's about 80, 70 years off.
Right.
Yeah, it's Lily Allen with London.
Right.
Thought it was fitting. The Olympics are coming up. Why not? Indeed. Get into the spirit.
Get into the spirit.
But of course, on the line with us right now is Andrew from the Kirby Institute. Are you still there, Andrew?
I'm still here, Jason.
Excellent.
Now, Andrew, we here in Well, we talk about a whole lot of stuff, but it's interesting to have you in tonight from the Kirby Institute in New South Wales to talk about this new project, Opposites Attract. Now, what does the study aim to tell us about this important question, if you like? Do opposites attract?
Well, they certainly do. I mean, we know that about 40% of HIV-positive men in Australia have an HIV-negative partner. So it's a very common situation. And the key question we're looking at is whether HIV treatment reduces HIV transmission in these serodiscordant couples. That's the main question. We're also looking at questions of whether sexually transmitted infections might have an effect on that relationship as well.
Now, I guess one of the big questions that is around is, you know, often when we talk about effective anti-HIV treatment, we look at undetectable viral load in the blood. There's some question around what kind of relationship that has to seminal viral load. Will this study kind of look at that that question as well?
We do have a sub-study looking at semen viral load as well. And in that sub-study, the men who agree to participate will provide semen at every visit they go to the doctor as well. It's asking a lot of men, though, so we're not making that a compulsory part of the study. It's entirely optional.
Yep.
At the moment, I should tell you that we aren't able to get that arm of the study up and running in Melbourne, but we're very hopeful that before long we will be able to do that.
Cool. Well, I guess getting straight into it, who are you looking to participate in this project?
So it's men in serodiscordant relationships, and that could be couples who have been together for a long time, so that, you know, they've been together for years,
mm-hmm.
right down to pairs of men who have the opposite HIV status to each other and have just been together for a short time. And that might even include men who don't plan a long-term relationship. So it's not just, you know, the long-term committed types, it's also men in buck buddy type relationships, you know, friends with benefits, those sort of situations. Those men are also eligible, providing they're having regular sex with each other.
So really the key criteria is that the regularity of the sexual contact?
That's right. And the only thing we require in terms of sexual contact is that the men are having anal sex with each other at least monthly on average.
Now, when participants are involved, what's required of them once they sign up, I guess?
Yep. So apart from that sexual behaviour criteria, the partners need to be 18 or older. They need to be serodiscordant. So one has to be HIV positive and the other HIV negative. And they need to be able to sign for your Melbourne listeners, they need to be able to sign up at a clinic at one of our participating clinics in metropolitan Melbourne.
Brilliant. Now we just sadly need to take another break, but we'd love to continue to chat about this. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
Oh, indeed you are, and this is Well, and we're talking with Andrew Gerlich from the Kirby Institute, and we're talking about this new study, Opposites Attract. Now, Andrew, you were mentioning I guess what I'm asking is what's involved with the participants. You talked about semen samples, how every time they would be coming along to be interviewed, so they're going to be interviewed for this research project?
Yeah, Tex, let me just make sure people are clear that the semen study is entirely optional and, in fact, is not yet offered in Melbourne. The core study is all around blood viral load and transmission. So, in fact, for the HIV-positive partner, it's just their normal visits to the doctor for their HIV-related blood tests. So no extra visits to the doctor. But when they visit, there'll be an online questionnaire that needs to be filled in. It's very brief for the positive partner. It's about 10 minutes, and about a 20-minute questionnaire for the negative partner. The negative partner has to have regular HIV tests, and we store those for later testing as well. The negative partner has to visit at roughly the same time, and the maximum is within 2 weeks of the visit of the positive partner, and that enables us to relate any transmissions that do occur in the study to the viral load of the positive partner.
And how many people are you looking for in this study? You've mentioned the study's happening in Sydney and in Melbourne?
Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane and Adelaide are our current sites.
Oh, cripe. So a few people across the board.
Indeed. And we're actually trying to get a site started up in Bangkok as well, which would obviously make it an international study. We're looking for a total of 250 couples followed for about 3 years. Now, that doesn't mean every couple needs to be followed for 3 years. Not all relationships last that long, of course. That's the number we'll be recruiting over that time.
So what, I guess that's you raise a valid point. What happens to individuals, say, who are participating in the in study and for whatever reason that relationship ceases?
Those couples, that's the end of the study for them, and we're very keen to get a blood test from the negative person at the end of the relationship. And then if either of those partners enter another serious good relationship, we would very much welcome them back to the study with open arms.
Now, how do people go about getting involved?
Okay, so the study is now recruiting in Melbourne. We have a website that people can visit for more information if they like, if people are reaching for their pens.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.oppositesattract.net.au. And there's heaps of information there, and you can also register your interest there for us to give you a call back. If you prefer to get your information from a live person, we have a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-129-073.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again, 1-800-129-073. And one of our friendly research assistants can give you a lot more information. Or people can talk direct to their HIV doctor at one of the participating clinics. And currently that's Northside Clinic, Pran Market Clinic, Centre Clinic, and two more opening very soon, within the next month or so. That's the Alfred Hospital and the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre.
And do both parties in the couple need to go to the same site?
They do to start the study. All the consent and explanation at the beginning of the study has to occur at the same place, and that's just because we need to explain the procedures to the couple together.
Yep.
After that first visit, if the negative partner goes to one of those other clinics and the positive goes to another, that's fine as long as it is one of those clinics that I mentioned.
Okay.
Now, Andrew, looking into the distance, 3 years hence, what are the outcomes? What's going to happen? Will it be, I imagine it will be a research paper, there will be published in a journal, but how will the information actually be disseminated out to AIDS councils, to people living with HIV/AIDS organisations, for them to do something with it?
So, look, members of our team will be talking to people from those organisations all the time. And, in fact, we have members of AIDS councils, both Victoria and New South Wales, and people living with HIV associations in the two states on the protocol steering committee that runs the study. And, in fact, somebody from a positive persons organisation is actually a former member of the study team. So that sort of relationship to community is very close in our study and guaranteed. And so hopefully the results of this study, and we know of only one other study in gay serodiscordant couples like this in the world, will really allow us to know just how closely viral load is related to transmission in gay men, and therefore allow gay men to make informed decisions about risk in that setting.
What kind of time frame are we looking at in terms of, the implementation of the study and then, the analysis? When can we expect to see the results?
So the study's funded by the Australian National Funding Body, the NHMRC, until the end of 2015. So really there's unlikely to be much in the way of interim analysis of the primary outcome until the end. So probably towards the end of 2015, we'll have study results to share with the world.
exciting times ahead.
Indeed.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on air this evening, Andrew, and best of luck with the recruitment.
Thanks very much.
And we'll be sure to repeat those contact details at the end of the show for anyone that's interested in touching base with you.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, guys.
Great. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Once again, that was Andrew from the Kirby Institute about the new Opposites Attract study. If you want more information, check out oppositesattract.net.au. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Have you ever wanted to learn how to make radio? Joy 94.9's Taste of Radio training course will teach you all about on-air presentation, interviewing, studio operation, media law, digital editing, and more. Classes run regularly throughout the year, one evening a week from 6:30 till 9:30 for 8 weeks. Applications for our September courses are now open, but you must hurry. You must have your application and payment forms completed and returned to courses@joy.org.au before the 17th of August. If you'd like to learn all about Joy 94.9's Taste of Radio training course, head to joy.org.au, click on the Get Involved tab, and then select Taste of Radio. Visit joy.org.au.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Jason and Tex with you this evening. And we just listened to Kansas City by Sneaky Sound System. And before that was India RE with The Heart of the Matter.
Fantastic. Yeah.
What did you think, Tex? You said it's always a bit of
The one before the important community service announcements, but the one we've just listened to, it was a bit bouncy, and you were sitting there with your earphones on, clicking your fingers and doing a bit of a jiggle in the chair, so that was quite nice. But anyway, moving on, Jason.
Is it time to move on?
It is indeed. Oh. It's time for us to say to our listener, you might like to get a pen and a pad of paper, or perhaps if you're up into the platform generation, you can get your iPad handy or your computer screen or whatever, because we've got a few websites and a few phone numbers for you. And first of all, I thought we could just speak once more time and give those details for the study that Andrew's conducting, that we talked about, Andrew, from the Kirby Institute. The website is oppositesattract.net.au, and so from the website you'll be able to get all sorts of information about the study, oppositesattract.net.au, or if you'd like to ring up and speak to a real live person, you can ring 1-800-129-073, 1-800-129-073.
Now, most of the groups that we wanted to talk about tonight are from the people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. So they've got a few workshops that they are currently recruiting for that are a great way for people to keep healthy and happy.
Indeed.
Now, the first on the list is something that we've talked about on the show, and it's the issue of HIV and Hep C co-infection. And PLWHA Victoria, in partnership with Hepatitis Victoria and the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, are putting together a workshop for all people living with both Hepatitis C and HIV called Take Control. Now, it's a 6-week program which is all about the management of Hep C and HIV co-infection, and will provide you with information about how to live well with the co-infection. To register for the workshop, or if you'd like more information, you can contact Dimitri on 9863-0444. 9863-0444.
Another one we've mentioned quite a few times, but well worth mentioning again, is the Phoenix Workshop. Now, the Phoenix Workshop is for newly diagnosed gay and bisexual men who have been newly diagnosed with HIV.
What's newly diagnosed?
Well, in this context, newly diagnosed means within the last 2 years. So it might be that you got a positive test result last week or 2 years ago. Mm. If you'd like to come along and join this group, it's fantastic. It's put on by people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. As I said, it's for gay and bisexual men who've recently been diagnosed with HIV, so over the past 2 years or so. It provides an opportunity to learn about more about living with HIV and really important for social contact to meet some other recently diagnosed men so that you can share your experiences in what is both a safe and supportive environment. Now, the workshop covers a whole heap of topics, but things like learning strategies for managing and making sense of HIV, exploring the issues around disclosure, who to tell, when to tell, when perhaps you shouldn't tell, negotiating sex, really important, and relationships as well. Now, the workshop's completely confidential, and you can find out more about the services and agencies that are there available for you as a positive person. To learn more, you can, or to book, in fact, to go into the next workshop, you can ring People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, 9863 8733.
And Tex, do you happen to know how long, like, what's involved? What's the time commitment for that workshop? Is it run over the weekend?
It's run over a weekend. It starts on a Friday night with a social meeting on the Friday night just for people to get to know each other. Then it runs all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And there's food and refreshments provided. So, you know, you come into the workshop, you leave with heaps of information, but also, I just patted my tummy then, with a nice full tummy.
Hopefully people can hear that pat. Now, we often like to talk about smoking cessation, and
don't
particular
shoot.
Smoking cessation workshops. And People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, in partnership with Quit Victoria, provide a free 4-week course for all people living with HIV/AIDS who wish to quit smoking. The course covers issues like understanding smoking, planning to quit, health effects, quitting methods, coping without cigarettes both physically and emotionally, and staying stopped in the short term and long term. If you want more information, you can contact the organization on 9863-8733. I know that they're currently recruiting for a group that's about to start shortly. Mm. It's a great opportunity. If you've tried to quit before, or this is your first time, either or, it's a great fit.
It's a great workshop, and I've spoken to lots of people who've been through the workshop, and they emphasise the line that you missed out at the end. Enjoying being a non-smoking forever is a really important part of the... Once you've gone through all the coping strategies and the quitting strategies, it's then enjoying being a non-smoker forever.
Now, there's another group that's going to be meeting out of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre's offices, mm-hmm. And that's the Gay Men's Prostate Cancer Support Group. It's a confidential group, which is open to all gay men who have had a prostate cancer diagnosis, and also their partners are welcome to attend. Issues concerning, they discuss an overview of prostate cancer, the side effects of treatment, and the impact of diagnosis. For more information and group times, you can check out the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre's website at vicaids.asn.au. Again, that's for the Gay Men's Prostate Cancer Support Group.
And look, if you didn't get that website address for the Victorian AIDS Council, just type Victorian AIDS Council, get your tongue around it, Tex, into your favourite search engine, perhaps the one starting with G. Well, we don't say it because they're not a sponsor. Yes, Jason, is it that time?
It is that time, Tex.
Coming up next, of course, Hide and Seek with the gorgeous Dean and the equally gorgeous Andrew. Anyone you'd like to say hello to?
Well, I'm going to say a big hello to a friend from South Yarra who messaged in earlier saying how exciting and interesting the times are in HIV prevention. And, of course, a big thank you to Andrew from the Kirby Institute for joining us this evening to talk about the Opposites Attract study.
I'd like to thank everybody who has liked our Facebook page, facebook.com/joy. You can like us anytime. I'd also like to say a quick hello to Warren in Cairns, to Wayne in Nimbin, to Deb across the road from where I live, and to Harry, my partner.
Now, we'll be back next week.
Oh, indeed. And next week we're going to be talking about heart health and HIV.
Fantastic.
So it should be a really interesting discussion. We do have a special guest from the Heart Foundation coming in. So, yes, we'll be talking about all things cardiovascular disease, heart health, and what it's like to be a person living with HIV and having to cope with this serious medical condition.
Well, leading us out this evening, after a few messages, will be Rasheen Murphy with Dear Miami. Stay tuned for Hide and Seek in a moment.
Fantastic. See you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Podcast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.